Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flame On, episode 243, The Rise of Skywalker. What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here with your first episode of Flame On in the year 2020.
It's a fiction.
And we are here to discuss the movie that's been on everybody's lips, whether it's been good, bad, or... Okay, pretty much those are the only two options. It's apparently very 50-50 split down the critic and fan vote.
You're talking about Cats, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
I don't know if 50-50 is the way that that split is going.
It's more a 7-10 split. Very hard to pick up.
Meow.
We are here to talk about Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. I'm joined by Brian.
Hi.
Josh.
Hey.
And Eric.
Howdy.
And we've got opinions, we've got thoughts, we've got critiques, we've got concerns, revelations, epiphanies, maybe some questions. And so let's go ahead and dig into the movie. Let's start with the things that we enjoyed about it, because it's always nice to start on a positive note, especially going into a brand new year of pop culture. So, Eric, why not give us some of your positive fun takeaways from Rise of Skywalker?
I actually didn't hate C-3PO in this one.
That's a good way to start.
No, I mean, normally I find that his brand of humor, I don't really care for.
Well, he's English. It's dry. And
I mean,
no, I
he's an android.
I like
Is
British
that really
humor,
dry? I don't know that that's a...
Listen, you're talking to people who watch British comedies and British shows. We get the dry humor. But yeah, lately it just hasn't been funny.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the new trilogies, he's like not funny.
Yeah. Like, you have R2-D2, you have BB-8. They're
the
over
same.
The top.
It's a bunch of beeping.
Yeah. And that's...
Well, beeping with personality. Like, you know.
Yeah.
BB-8's got personality with just beeping.
Yeah, I don't know. I just...
I mean, there was the whole debate of whether or not he gave Finn the finger or was giving him a thumbs up. That was personality right there. That was my favorite.
I maintain it was the finger, but you know.
Oh, we say that's a thumbs up. We all know the truth.
But no, I actually positively reacted to C-3PO's whole arc in the movie.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was cute. It in the first two movies of this trilogy, it felt very much like your straight female friend who's had one too many cocktails, who tries to be like, yes, mama, slay, work, girl. And you're like, bitch, stop. Please just stop. You're trying way too hard.
That also just made me really uncomfortable.
You're welcome. BJ isn't here, so I've got to fulfill that role.
Wait,
today.
You that what are you saying that that's you? I don't understand. Why is it uncomfortable? Do you relate too much?
No, I felt that on a like
a visceral
level.
You have friends like that.
I do.
Okay, we all do. We all do.
I don't, but that's because I don't have that many female friends. Straight female friends.
Well, even with the...
Okay, friends. Stop it, all right? I'm fine.
Even with the gay males, there's just some people that just... no. Now, granted, I'm one of those people. If you ever hear those words come out of my mouth...
I was going to say...
It'll make people very uncomfortable.
Yes, mama.
Yes, mama.
Work.
So you didn't like... So you like C-3PO. What else is about this movie?
I don't know, just overall the feeling from it, it was very nostalgia heavy, I felt. I thought it was fan servicey in a good way. And it probably, I don't know, of the new trilogy, I just felt the best about it. Just an aura of, good. I don't know.
Like a warm hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Space Mom Carrie Fisher.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yes. She swoops in with her Superman.
Her Mary Poppins?
Yes.
Nice.
I know she doesn't have an umbrella, but she's still Mary Poppins.
She is absolutely Mary
Poppins. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Hey, Zach, thank you. Thank you.
Josh, what did you enjoy about The Rise of Skywalker?
I thought the pacing was decent. Like, I think it fit what the... even though there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
I felt that the pace was good for it.
You mean there was no slow chase in outer space where we don't have enough fuel for more than two jumps?
Yeah, that was a little...
the longest, shortest car chase in the history of cinema.
And I will say that this movie kind of made me appreciate The Last Jedi just a little bit more than I did prior.
It handled a lot of stuff from the two previous movies and kind of weaved it together in a way that seemed less convoluted. Even though it was super convoluted, it felt like it wasn't two competing theories like that had to then be tied together in a third movie. So I agree with you there.
I would say, I guess, there was one thing in the movie that I thought was, I guess, unnecessary.
We're not to that section yet, sir.
But that's about it.
These are the positives. These are the good things about the movie.
I know. I'm just saying. One thing out of the rest of the movie, I thought it was good. I thought it was action-packed. I thought it was nostalgic. I thought it was, like, cohesive with the story.
Very good. Brian, what were some positive takeaways from The Rise of Skywalker for you?
I don't have any. Move on. I'm just kidding.
Isn't me with Dark Phoenix, all right?
I really do have some negatives to go into, but I will agree with my cohorts thus far. It was entertaining. It was a acceptable sci-fi, fantasy, action, adventure, roller coaster movie experience. I did enjoy when it linked in with the prior movie, Last Jedi. I appreciated it.
It used LinkedIn?
It has a profile. Oh. You know, it's got its resume up. It's trying to network.
If it had a LinkedIn, it would be trying to send like dick pics to other people. Wait, like, this is not what LinkedIn is for, sir.
That is not what LinkedIn is for.
Ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
Calm down. They're listening to Kids Bop, all right?
I did a little tear up a bit when they did the Carrie Fisher stuff. That was very touching on all the levels. And even the ending, which I know that isn't maybe universally agreed upon, I did enjoy the Kylo Ren / Ben Solo storyline with Rey. And the very end with Tatooine. We're spoiling things, right? We did say that.
We didn't say it, but at this point... Yeah. It's 2 weeks. There's spoilers. It's good.
The very ending on Tatooine also made me a little wet in the eye sockets.
I agree. I thought that the Kylo Ren story was cleaned up, and it didn't seem as weak at the end of it.
Yeah, I like that, and I definitely like the Tatooine thing. So, yeah.
I agree with Tatooine. I thought that was a cute little ending for it. I thought that there was a very difficult task for whoever, whether it was going to be J.J. Abrams or whoever was going to have to do this ninth movie. You're talking 42 years of Star Wars lore that you are now trying to incorporate into not just the end of a trilogy, but the end of a what you call a nine-movie arc.
Saga. Trilogy of trilogies.
Saga. A trilogy of trilogies, yes. This saga. Is the Infinity Saga. Calm down.
It's still a saga, though. They refer to it as a saga.
I'm calling it a trilogy of trilogies.
Okay. You're welcome.
I'm calling Trademark. It episode 9. All right? That's it.
Fine. Trilogy cubed. Or
yes. That works, okay, too. There we go. Trilogy cubed. I think that it did... It had a lot to try to live up to. It was never going to please everybody. Because I think whether or not you like The Last Jedi... The Last Jedi split this toxic fandom. You had the purists, and I'll air quote that. I know podcasting, it's a visual medium. But it divided so many people because people were looking at it going, oh, we'll see what you can do. And then other people were like, but you've gone way too far outside of the, you know, you've overcorrected, blah, blah. And then you are now saddled with people that wanted to continue on the Ryan Johnson train and say, okay, well, let's continue to subvert audience expectations. And then you've got people that are like, please just finish this story with characters that I love. And from here on out, I think it sets a tone that you can now do whatever story. I think there needs to not be like Star Wars episode blah 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 and continue like that. I think this is a nice way to end Trilogy Cubed,
the Skywalker saga,
and move on to telling more stories and doing more things, because we've seen good Star Wars stories come out, like Rogue One, less successful ones like Solo. And I think this movie overall to me did what it needed to do. I'm not a huge, huge, huge Star Wars fan. I have only seen the movies within the last few years, but I thought it played to what it needed to do. The point where Rey is down on the ground after, while she's facing off with Palpatine, when all the Force ghost voices spoke to her, I thought that was pretty awesome. I might have lost it a little when Yoda's...
Aww,
voice. Was it Alone You Never Were?
Yeah.
So. I was like, oh. So there were a lot of beats like that. And then at the end, the kind of the little throwbacks to the Ewoks, to the Puffins. What were they? Porgs.
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 So those little bits and those beats were really cute, and I liked them, and it brought all of that kind of back. And then finishing out on I was going to say Alderaan. Woo, we finished back there. Just one of those little chunks of Alderaan floating in the space.
Too soon.
To end on Tatooine, it gave me a sense of closure. And I think that was going to be tough for anybody to pull off. But I think J.J. Abrams did a decent job. It was very formulaic in a lot of ways. But I think at this juncture, it was the best way to close it out. So those are our positive takeaways. Now's the fun part. Because now we're going to start bitching each other about this. Let's do this.
Claws out.
Round two.
The library is open.
Eric, what were some things that you did not enjoy?
The kiss.
Ah, yes!
Wrong.
Yes.
Wrong.
I felt like a kid seeing their parents
we
kiss.
We are a podcast divided. Well, it's even worse because Abrams said something about there's like a weird brother-sister relationship.
Exactly.
That made it worse. He made it worse.
And he was like, but Luke and Leia, well, they didn't know.
Exactly.
Well, but the thing is, okay, so that one was worse because they actually are brother and sister. These two at least aren't. So there is no DNA familial things, but their relationship is whatever. I just never felt any type of romanticness from them. No. Even when Ryan Johnson came in and was like, all right, you take your shirt off. And then you just be in each other's minds. Like, no. It would just felt creepy and dirty. And did you hear me in the theater when I turned to you and I said, I want to boo right now?
I heard that.
Too. I did not hear you say that.
Which is funny, considering Eric was sitting right next to me and Brian was a seat over. My voice travels.
I heard.
Hush, hush. Keep it
I
down
I noticed
now.
That you,
voices
you reacted.
Carry.
You reacted.
I
did have a visceral, like, my whole body clenched.
I could have seen a clenching hug.
Parts of me clenched, but it wasn't my whole body. No, like, yeah, thank you. No, it's an intense relationship that they had. Whether or not it was through weird force powers, diadem, bullshit, whatever, they had an intense relationship that they consummated in that brief moment when he was able to with Rey.
I don't want to hear anything about them consummating anything.
Had to have some shorthand of that relationship that's been built up, which is one of the few things that I felt like they did carry over from Last Jedi.
I get that there could have been some sort of Buffy Spike hate fuck thing go on.
There you go.
But,
which is still one of my least favorite things about the entire fucking thing.
Yes.
You do not go from trying to rape her to being, oh my God, this is the love of my life. Fuck that bullshit.
Yeah,
that's true.
And fuck you, Joss Whedon, for writing
that
it.
That kiss was not like, I hate you.
No.
But we're in. That was like, passion.
No, right. No, but it's an intensity of not negative. I don't think it was a hate fuck. I think it was a brief moment when they realized and they could be in that like moment together in a way that they couldn't afterwards. Because I'm pretty sure in that moment, Ray knew what he had done and that he was gone, that he would go away. I don't think that you come back from that. And in the arc of the way these work, the bad guy turn around into good guy that Vader and then now Kylo did, you don't come back from that. So I feel like no matter what, A, he had to die. If they had kissed and he didn't die, that would be a problem. And I wouldn't
be awkward.
Like it would be awkward too. But no, like they had to have that recognition of that intensity.
But there was a way she could have just said Ben.
No. Well, not enough.
I could have seen them like him embrace. Coming up, them hugging,
nope, yeah.
And
enough.
Then him just go limp, and then her like pull him back and just be like Ben, because then he's now given his life for her. Like I could be like, oh, okay, cool. The kiss was.
There are too many people out there who have shipped them, and I'm not in that camp necessarily.
Well, there's a lot of people who have shipped Poe and Finn.
Well,
and
well,
we saw them. We saw them really try to push that heterosexuality on this film.
Let's come back to that because we'll there's a whole kiss that we need to talk about, but not this kiss. But no. Like
this
as
kiss,
a visual shorthand, a shorthand, shorthand, shorthand. That
a short hair hound
was a nice, quick. Alternative to the hug, to any other thing you could do to recognize what they had and to give him a farewell. I think that's what made sense to me. And I mean, I don't know. I think it worked.
Everyone's entitled to opinion,
Josh,
even if it's wrong.
I want to hear. I feel like Josh might agree with me. I don't know.
So I do agree with you on a lot of levels. I'm kind of on the fence whether I wanted it to be a kiss or whatnot. But when my friend Evan and I saw it, you know, he was like, oh, my God, why? And I'm like.
And so that's why we get Evan on this podcast. That way it's 3-1. Get him on the phone. I need you to leave.
I was telling him, you know, I don't think that the kiss was romantic.
Doesn't matter.
And, you know.
It doesn't. I'm not saying I think it was romantic.
Right. Well, some people do because they were shipping them.
Well, no, and, that's fine.
Which I get, but.
Because if he had lived, they would not have ended up together.
No. No, I think he would have gone off and done something.
But I think it was kind of along the lines of, you know, Leia and Luke in A New Hope, where, you know, Leia planted one on him. I mean, granted, they were related.
They didn't know.
But it was just kind of like, you know, that intense moment,
right?
You know, type thing where you just.
She was also doing it to make Han jealous.
Well, right. So
there's
that
a whole different
perspective
for that.
But
was meant for a certain reaction in a certain way.
If you are having a relationship, let's just call it a relationship. We won't have to assign any sexual, romantic, anything.
Because there's platonic relationships. We get it.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So they were having a relationship in their minds that they could not act on because Ray was like, you're a bad person. I don't like what you've done. I don't agree with you, but I still see that there's something there. And even said earlier, I would have taken your hand if, you know, it had been Ben.
Right, exactly.
You're building to some kind of recognition of intimacy. I am not saying romantic or sexual. I am saying they had a relationship that was very intense, and that kiss was all they could do to consummate it. In that moment, when he had redeemed himself, saved her life, and everything had come to a head, it makes sense.
I mean, and they had this connection. It was just,
100%.
But it was complicated.
I understand why people
calm down,
Avril
Lavigne.
They
why?
It was this teeter totter system with them, you know.
Yeah.
They,
well, they won't. It was a classic. Will they? Won't they?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like she's trying to, you know, reach out to him, you know, for the good, and then he sees the potential of, you know, darkness in her, and he's trying to, you know, reach out to that, you know, and they were a balance. I think ultimately. I think the two of them together kind of signified the balance of the Force and what it represents and how easy it is to give in to one another.
Well, then that balance went really off to the side.
Well, they certainly were the yin and the yang.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But and the thing that I appreciated was the fact that, you know, they were on clear sides, but both of them had ample opportunities to end the other, and they didn't.
So you're entitled to your wrong opinion. It's fine.
I'm just.
I'll let you go with it.
Clearly, we are a podcast divided.
So going from the kiss that we got to the kiss that we didn't get.
Fuck that noise. Fuck J.J. Abrams. And here's why I'm pissed. Okay, when was Pulse? Just this is me personal, but also sort of related. How long?
3.5 years.
Okay, yeah, it was 2016.
When Pulse happened, one of our dear friends, Drew Leonin, died in that tragedy. And there was a campaign that former show, Flame On Show, now IGN bigwig, Josh started called Put Drew in Star Wars. And it was all about, let's get Drew out there. Let's get a queer character in the Star Wars universe, in the movies specifically. And they have done that in the comics, and they have done that in the books. But when you token, like, drop in this, like, little kiss in the last movie of the Skywalker saga, and that's your representation in Star Wars in lieu of some other... It doesn't even have to be a full character.
With two females.
I don't even care that they're females. I'm just saying the fact that that was a little, almost afterthought, you know, like, it just pissed me off.
It's a step. We can't be mad enough about it being...
10 years ago, that would have been a step.
No, I get that. But you're talking about, like, multi-billion dollar franchises that... I mean, we're at the end of, like you said, we're at the end of this trilogy of trilogies. Like, you're not going to all of a sudden deviate and be like, here's this new character that we're going to...
Right.
Like, we already did that with Rose and then this other... Was it Jenna?
Oh, the horse rider?
Yeah, I liked her.
I liked her, too.
She was cool.
Should have been Rose more, but...
You know, which, again, that's an issue. But then you have a toxic fandom that basically bullied her off of social media.
Yeah. And then Disney did nothing, really, to do anything about it.
I read somewhere that there's a lot of people wanting her to have her own...
The director?
Yes, which is the thing. Which blows my fucking mind that you've got a fucking toxic fandom that is bullying her off of social media, and then now you've got fandom that's like, where did she go? She should have her own Disney Plus show, which I'm not saying she shouldn't.
Right.
I didn't love her character.
The director of Crazy Rich Asians, whose name escapes me, wants to do this project. Like, that's pretty big. When somebody who has that clout comes forward and says, I mean, even if he kind of, or they kind of know, it's probably not going to happen. Like, they say that publicly is a big thing.
Absolutely. And it's more Asian American representation or Asian representation in film and media. And, you know, I get that there should be more. Absolutely, 100% agree that there should be more. But I'm not going to look, you know, that in... It wasn't made a spectacle of. It wasn't a thing. Like, it's kind of like what J.J. Abrams did in Star Trek with Spock and his husband.
What?
It was just...
No, not Spock. Sulu.
I'm sorry.
Spock
and Kirk. And
I've only seen the first two, so I haven't seen Beyond yet.
But I will say
I think it was in Beyond.
Yeah, it was in the third.
Yeah. That's why it's all...
The difference for that, and Beyond wasn't Abrams. That was somebody else. The fact, he did the first two. The fact that they did so Sulu is a big character. I mean, Sulu is a big part of Star Trek. That would have been like making Poe or Finn or I don't even know C-3PO. I don't know, whatever.
Well,
C-3PO was
he's a queen,
but he's a stereotype.
that was our representation.
He's a fucking stereotype. But no,
he's an archetype, bitch.
if this had been in Force Awakens, like what was that? 6 years ago? 8 years? Six years ago?
2016.
Like I would be like, fine, cool. I'm happy. At least there's something. But in 2019. You do more than that. It's Disney's fault. I don't blame J.J. Abrams. I think if I had to guess and read between the lines, they wanted to do maybe a little more. Disney's the problem. Disney is not going to take a risk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But they are starting to take risks. We're going to have Valkyrie have a wife. Valkyrie. I know it's still a couple of years away, but we've already talked about Valkyrie. There's now reports that Jessica Jones is going to be in Captain Marvel 2.
Woo! Whoa, where did that come from?
And
played by Kristen Ritter?
I don't know. Hopefully. Which I, oh God, I hope so.
I mean, I hope you're right.
Which, and then there's talk about the fact that that's a possible relationship for Carol.
Hmm. Interesting.
I take what? Her and Jess.
Holy shit, that's crazy. But no, I'll believe it.
It has some crazy absolutely. Sex.
Well, and we're going to get our first openly gay character in the Eternals, which comes out next year? Two years, something like that.
Yeah,
no, so. 2021.
21, one of those. So, but these things all come with time. And, you know, like, these films get made. And I just, I can't get mad that there is any, that there is, even if it's small, we can always push for more. But I can't be mad that there is any.
I'm disappointed that they didn't make it a bigger thing. Not that I need a whole storyline. And obviously that character, again, from Last Jedi, that was one of the Rian Johnson additions. I love that. I love that they carried it through, and I love that they gave us some payoff, but in a way that almost felt, it just felt cheap. It felt very bolted on.
But it shows that anybody is in that village and that resistance. You know, I get it. I do. But I'm also, I look at it from the mindset of, I don't need my gay characters to have to be at the front and center at all times. I can see a show and have there be like, this resistance village where there's all these people trying to fight to survive, and then they win, and then, okay, there's that lesbian couple. They share a kiss because they're happy that they're both alive. Awesome. That shows me that this is, you know, a well-rounded environment. And then you've got, you know, Lando hitting on his daughter. But that's a different story.
We're going to come back to that, too. Hold on. So there's that
kiss.
And I mean, honestly, we should be grateful that they didn't kill either of the lesbians.
True.
Because that
very true.
No. Hate crime.
Will we have known that they were lesbians, though?
No.
Well, exactly. if they had kissed early, like when the fighter pilots were going off, if one of them was a pilot.
And then she kissed her wife.
Honestly,
and then
though,
died.
I would rather have done that. Because what they did in this brief kiss is such a slight, like, we were just talking about how Kylo and Rey had this kiss and what it meant. That could have meant anything. It didn't need to be like they were gay or they were for each other. And they were saying that this one little brief moment, which literally was, what, 2 seconds in the final, like that meant that they were lesbians? Then we saw nothing of their relationship. If one of them had gone off to war to die in the thing and then they had a moment, that would have been so much more. I would have been so much happier with that representation.
But... then you know? It would have fed into the trope of LGBT characters just being immediately killed.
I'm just talking about my own read on it. That shows more depth in character building than a quick little kiss is ever among anybody.
I don't know. I see where you're coming from. I still appreciate there at least being something that somebody had to fight for it.
No, of course. And I give whoever fought for it. I give all the credit. I 100% blame Disney for being a corporation that is 100%, we are not going to be too socially out there because of all of the crazy religious people who would have a problem with it. And that affects their bottom line. And that's business, and I get it, but I think it's we shouldn't call it anything other than what it is. And it's a conservative company being safe. That's all. I mean, it is what it is.
I look at it as steps into the future because of what we just talked about with the representation that is coming in some of their biggest.
I'm excited about that.
They
got a trans character coming, I believe, as well. Like, I forgot where they're coming, but anyway, there was a casting announcement and yeah, all of it. Great.
So I mean, do more. It's all leading up to these things. Because
but I'm going
to
keep demanding it. I'm going to keep being
as anybody that's part of the LGBTQIA+ community should. You should demand and should push for more representation, whether it's primary, secondary, tertiary characters, whatever it is. I personally am I'm grateful that we are continuing on that path towards more things becoming visible and recognizable, and their body language. You know, we talk about, you were saying how the Rey and Kylo kiss, the Ben and Rey kiss, could be whatever. the way that was, the scene, the emotion, the entire emotion, when those two kissed, you were like,
yeah,
that's her woman. You
held
knew.
Faces. It was a whole thing.
It
yeah.
was, yeah. yeah. So you had that whole thing. Like, but it gave me a sense of like, oh.
It was the shortest of shorthands to represent LGBT character, two characters.
You're also,
one of which
you're
never
also
seen.
Trying to finish up 42 years of movie, and I'm fine with them. I would rather this than you give me this quick little thing, and you try to like introduce, oh, here's this gay character, and then not do anything with them.
So like Rose.
Like Rose.
Okay. Can we talk about Rose, though? Because I feel like there's another area where...
Let's talk about Rose.
Because like Rian Johnson wrote Last Jedi. He put a person of color in the, you know, Asian American in this role, gave her a quite large part, and even built like a Finn romance kind of sort of, and you know, it never felt like 100% there. It was kind of like, well, maybe, but I mean, she saved his life. I mean, she obviously had feelings for him, whatever his feelings were. And then in this movie, and this is one of my problems with the Rise of Skywalker, is they totally like sidelined her. And I mean, I'm not the only person saying this. I know this is kind of the thing.
Oh, yeah, no.
But it's... like totally just went, nope, you're staying here. In fact, it's even kind of meta because they even said like at a moment where, oh, no, you should stay here. You should stay here. And then to what end? Because Finn, even if he had feelings for Rey, like there was this whole ongoing, oh, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you this thing. They never paid that off.
No,
I would see. I disagree with that. So due to the juxtaposition of the scenes and the fact that Poe constantly, Poe, as soon as Finn said to Rey, hey, I need to tell you something, Poe was like all up in their business. Like, why can't you tell me? I want to know, you know? And so with the juxtaposition of the frames and going from, you know, Rey being gone, you know, Finn is like, hey, Poe, I have to talk to you. In the same demeanor that he said that to Rey. So I think he knew from Leia that Rey was a Palpatine.
Oh.
And he was trying to tell her that because she was going through so much, you know, and...
I need you to show me source material.
I feel like I need receipts for this.
I want to see the receipts. Well,
it's subtext. Well, I like what your theory is, but it's...
JJ has publicly said that Finn was not going to tell Rey that he had feelings for her.
Okay.
Okay, so that eliminates that as a problem.
No, and I like your theory, but I want to know if that's the case.
But the more popular theory I've read about is just that Finn was going to tell Rey that he was Force sensitive.
So let's just say this. Why would you put a gun out there and not show it being shot? It's the antithesis of Chekhov's gun, right?
Because there's other things in there, which we're going to get to with Lando.
Because you had to
replace. And the Palpatine thing are both in external media that is not this movie.
You also had to replace Broom Boy with somebody. That was going to be Finn.
Oh, let's get back to Broom Boy. I don't want to forget about Broom Boy. That is important.
Oh, Broom Boy.
We hardly knew you.
Put it this way. The movie was packed.
Justice
the movie
from
was
Broom
very
Boy.
Busy. Yeah, just thank you. But it left a lot on the table that not just in a way that's like, oh, we're building the mystery. Like Damon Lindelof, who did Watchmen, his thing is like he always wants to have these unanswered questions as part of a thing that people can discuss and theorize. I don't think that's what happened here. I think they literally ran out of time from what I have read about the reshoots and some of the last-minute editing choices. There is either going to be extra material that's out there on the Blu-rays or was put into fucking Fortnite as a thing, because why not? We're in a weird era.
If you don't know, Palpatine's speech that is referenced in the opening crawl is, you can hear that in Fortnite.
Because of course you can.
Like, the game?
Yeah. Yes. And I love Fortnite. I have admitted to being a fan of playing the Fortnite.
Haven't played it.
But the fact that that is like an in-canon like beat that they share, it's like such a weird world we're in right now. And I want a cohesive story on the page or in the media. And yeah, if you have like a spinoff TV show or a whatever, like, okay, fine, I get that. But like, come on. It's sloppy. To me, J.J. Abrams is a better director and storyteller than the Rise of Skywalker ever would demonstrate.
Well, there has to be in 15 years him to come out with a special edition.
Oh, oof, yes. Yeah. You're going to go to the archives and look. Oh, look. Finn actually says what the fuck he was trying to tell Rey. How about that? Okay, Broom Boy. Can we talk about Broom Boy?
Let's talk about Broom Boy.
Okay, so the whole point of The Last Jedi is to make a point that the Force, oh, and to build on the fact that Rey's parents were nobodies, is Rian Johnson saying, you need to get past this whole fucking weird family power dynamic that admittedly was most of the prior seven
movies.
Right. And
you have seven movies.
And I'm going
to
get
Why are you waiting to eight to try to be like, isn't important anymore.
I got a point there, too, I want to make. But point is, Rian...
You realize that the negative section was just for him to vent, right?
Exactly.
For us to fight back.
Rian Johnson made an artistic segment because Disney said, hey, it's your movie. You do what you do. They still had to sign off on all of it, which is a whole other thing. But the fact is, at the end of Last Jedi, the Force was democratized. You had a relative nobody out of nowhere wielding it in a way that no one ever has. And you got Broom Boy demonstrating that, oh, look, people out there in the world are now Force aware. They always were. But look, they're taking back the Force in a way that's not just the Jedi or the Sith. You take that idea and you fucking throw it in the garbage and you start with the Rise of Skywalker, which is literally called the Rise of Skywalker because it's all about Skywalker and the lineage of the family and then the Palpatines and then the whole thing. And you just completely shit on the idea that the last movie ended on.
So on that note, I don't necessarily think it was an entirely scrapped idea. I don't think that Broom Boy or the fact that the other people can access the Force or even that the Force itself is, for lack of a better term, awakening. I don't think that was a necessary part of the plot of the conclusion. I think it opens it up for other source material moving forward. Knowing that, people can access it, whether, the Jedi could be coming back or whether it's just, as you mentioned, they're using the Force in a way that was unforeseen. I think that, it did what it needed to do at the end of the Last Jedi. And I think that it was intended to just open up a door and that's it.
They kind of opened up that door with Finn using the lightsaber and having Force sensitivity that was shown in both the first and second part of this trilogy. And then
there was something with the third where he was trying to figure out the whole ship navigation thing in the last thing. He's like, how do you know that? He's like, I have a feeling.
I
will give you that. Yes, Finn is obviously Force
sensitive. So we scrapped Broom Boy and we just continued on with Finn having Force sensitivity.
Honestly, I don't think that this was a new idea just in this trilogy. I feel like even in the time of before the fall of the Jedi and whatnot, there were people in the universe who were Force sensitive.
Oh, Maz Kanata. Maz Kanata, absolutely.
100%. That weren't recognized by or found by either the Jedi or the Sith.
Was that Lupita Nyong'o?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, her character is Force sensitive. They made a big point to kind of point that out in Force Awakens. So you're right. You're 100% right.
Because if Anakin could have gone through his entire life without ever being found by a Jedi and just would have grown up to be a force sensitive slave.
Mm-hmm. His midichlorian levels were
thank you for that. So I guess here's what I'm really saying in all this is I've been listening to interviews and listening to responses.
That's your mistake.
Well, I know. But no, it helps me process.
But aren't we asking people to listen to this one?
Please don't let this form your opinions for you out there.
Here's the deal. What they did with this new trilogy is sloppy and I believe really falls at the feet of Kathleen Kennedy, because when they brought in J.J. Abrams for the first movie, that was fine, but they should have done a story Bible. They should have done an outline of the whole trilogy, of the new trilogy, and really worked out here's where we're going, so that when they brought in Rian Johnson, it wasn't a blank slate and it wasn't even okay, here's how we ended it, now have fun. It was, no, here's where we need to go, because whether you do the third movie or J.J. Abrams does or somebody does the third movie, originally it was Colin Trevorrow, there's a path, there's a dynamic, there's a story arc that we know will pay off. And the fact that they didn't, and originally we're going to have Colin Trevorrow do the third movie and then that didn't work out and they had to bring Abrams back in to fix it. It is what has caused there to be this weird story arc. And yeah, the original trilogy, Lucas kind of wrote the first one, kind of not in isolation, but he did his own thing. Studios came and helped him out. They brought Lawrence Kasdan. There was an evolution of the storytelling and all that. It fit better. It made sense more because the second and third movies were the same people. And it just works. And then the first trilogy, even though they're not great, the prequels, it's whatever. At least it's just one dumbass's story that I, you know, is it's okay in parts and builds into the original. So there's more continuity. There's more like storytelling building like in a universe, I think, in the first two than in this new trilogy. And I think that ultimately falls to the feet of Kathleen Kennedy, who is the one who is show running this. Kevin Feige, by comparison with Marvel, did an amazing job of building into a big resolution. And I think there's your contrast. And the fact that they're bringing Feige back into to do Star Wars next is telling, because they know he can do it.
Well,
you know,
I think what Disney wanted to do with this new trilogy is almost emulate what Marvel was doing by bringing in a different director for each episode and just tell them, make your type of movie just within these kind of basic little frames with these interlocking characters.
As a trilogy that you're building up to, I just think that's a bad choice. Like, they didn't have a Feige. They didn't have that same person.
Right. And I think that's why the third one feels so disjointed and kind of
bolted on. Or
I mean, it just feels at odds with the second one.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because J.J. Abrams bookended it. And so if he had just made all three movies, there would have been obviously a better flow, because it would have just been his vision throughout the whole thing. And I really liked what Rian Johnson did with some of his choices. But I think J.J. Abrams having to come in and bookend the entire saga.
Yeah. It's a big effort. Abrams isn't even at fault, because like you said, he was brought in to save the day after Colin Trevorrow was very famously fired because it was a mess. It was a whole thing.
I think he could have continued on with Rey still being a no one, and still, I think you still would have had that. She still could have been able to do the Force lightning. She didn't need to be a direct descendant of Palpatine.
But then you wouldn't have had Emperor GLaDOS.
We still could have had Emperor GLaDOS.
I love Emperor GLaDOS. I will say I did really love that.
Did anybody else call that she was going to be a Palpatine, though?
So, you know, our friend Chad, Divine Grace, from the beginning of this, like back in Force Awakens when we saw it with her, that was what she was saying. Like, she's like, oh, Rey's a Palpatine. Like, and I think, you know, different things she read or heard, you know, whatever informed that opinion, 100% right. From that way back.
So I didn't think that far back. I probably didn't think about it either.
No, I didn't. I didn't like, you don't know. How are they going to do
it? So, but when they released the teaser and had Palpatine's laugh, I just thought, okay, well, we still don't know who Rey's family is. And now we're introducing a really old character and bringing someone back. But why? So I was like,
well, I mean, it's just as much Palpatine's trilogy of trilogies as it is the Skywalkers at this point.
Yeah, and I get it, you know, kind of closing out that whole Skywalker story arc, you know, so I get it. I thought the two coincidental things to me pieced together, and I was like,
it makes sense.
She's going to, I mean, there has to be a reason. There has to be something, you know, relative, and I suspected that was it, and then I called it.
It was just, it's just a weird 9 movies and how it shifts focus, because if you watch just 4, 5, 6, you think, oh, this is Luke's arc. And then you watch 1 through 6 and you're like, oh no, this is Anakin's arc. And now you watch 1 through 9 and you're like, oh, it's Palpatine's arc?
It's Shmi!
It's like,
it's all
what?
About Shmi! Yeah, it's weird.
Well, we could talk forever and ever, because this movie has a lot of opinions and thought processes to go through, but I think that it gives our listeners enough of our opinions. Please tell us what you think. Email us, comment, just hit us up on the socials. You can even go to patreon.com/flameonshow and become a patron and send us messages there and get some bonus content while you are at it. Go to flameonshow.com and hit up our social media, follow us there, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with our first roundup of the new year. So thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.